Welcome to the 2013 Armed American Radio National Broadcast on this Memorial Day weekend, May 26th, 2013, as we remember all of those who serve and served before you and those who paid the ultimate price so that we can bring you a program like Armed American Radio. Your sacrifices are not lost on those of us here at Armed American Radio, I can assure you. A great program, States' Rights, Sean Carana, Florida Carry, suing the city of Daytona Beach. We'll tell you why. Rich Burgess in Connecticut, Connecticut Carry, suing the state of Connecticut. We'll tell you why. Noted criminal psychologist and author, personal defense expert, Dr. Bruce Eimer is here. We'll talk with Bruce, as well as regular contributors David Kodria, the Mad Ogre. I'm Mark Walters. Shanto will be here, and we'll see you on the radio. Enjoy the broadcast.
Your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
I got to tell you, if you were listening to the last hour of the show, you heard classic, absolute classic radio scheduling. I don't know. What do you want to call it? Sean, you're laughing. You heard it was classic. A classic scheduling.
If you had been watching the video stream, what was classic is you sitting in those sunglasses.
Oh, that's in between the break. Nobody knows that. If you were listening to the first hour of the broadcast, we had a great guest. It still happened. We've held him over for this hour as well. I'm referring, of course, to Sean Carana from Florida Carry. And I opened up the segment with Sean, believing that it was my next guest, Rich Burgess of Connecticut Carry. The scheduling was flipped on the lineup page. The two names were flipped. So I opened up with opening as if it were Rich Burgess from Connecticut Carry, and in fact it was Sean from Florida Carry. So I won't go into all of the detail in the press release that I read in the opening segment, only because it's just a little bit too much to cover for this next half hour. But I will tell you that these two gentlemen are fighting the grassroots fight on the ground. And I never thought that I would put, you know, Florida in the same sentence with Connecticut relative to grassroots efforts, Sean, in Salem Studios. Shanto, I'll refer to you as.
Yes.
During this segment. But I never thought I would put those two states together. And we, Sean Carana down in Florida was kind enough to stay with us, and we're going to introduce him in just a second. First, let's go to my guest, Rich Burgess from Connecticut Carry. Rich, welcome to the show. How are you? Always a pleasure to have you here, my friend.
I'm doing great, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. You guys are fighting a battle up there. We're going to give you a voice on this microphone as often as we can whenever there's news, and you guys are now embattled in another lawsuit up there, as well as some other news going on in the state of Connecticut now that the gun grab has been put in place. There's a lot to talk about. Before we go into that, I also want to bring in Rich, Sean Carana, the head of Florida Carry, who's going to join us in this conversation as the head of another grassroots organization doing great things down in Florida, and that is Sean Carana. Sean, thanks very much for staying with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me back.
All right, let's take a listen, Sean, you and I, to what is being fought up in Connecticut right now. And, Rich, I'm just going to turn the mic over to you. Tell us a little bit about the lawsuit that you guys are filing now, and then we'll kind of segue into why it happened based on all of the garbage that you had to put up with since April of this year.
Well, the lawsuit we're filing, and I hope we're not getting it confused with another lawsuit that was filed here, but we have a lawsuit being filed right now based on background check fees in
Connecticut.
That's
the one.
Right, and the pistol permits we have in the state of Connecticut, they're somewhat reasonable in the fact that they allow you to open carry or concealed carry. I mean, I know Florida is fighting for the open carry stuff right now, so we do have an open carry and concealed carry permit. They have been somewhat reasonable in the past. They've done some good things about it, but right now what we're experiencing is these huge delays, and we fought this once before, in 2012. And we fought it back, and we did a pretty good job, and we got things changed, and the backlogs all disappeared, and everything went well. but now we're doing it all again. And, of course, there's a huge rush, which we understand, for pistol permits and firearms and just general background checks. But there's an underlying problem here of what the state police have been doing in Connecticut is collecting $50 per pistol permit fee without any kind of legal or statutory authority to do so.
Rich, is that $50 in addition to an already implemented fee? Can you make that clear?
Correct. The current pistol permit fees, we already pay $70 to a town. They do a background check and their investigation and everything. And then we pay a $70 fee to the state, which does the official checks, which is a state and an FBI check, which we also pay for the FBI check, which is the standard, I believe it's $16.25 right now. And then they also charge an additional, which is completely without statutory precedent, $50 fee to do a state background check, which, by the way, any of our local police departments are able to do instantly throughout their dispatch. So there's really no reason behind it. And in our statutes, it explicitly exempts local police departments from charging that or being charged that fee by the state. And so they've just taken it upon themselves to charge this extra $50. And now we're hearing that they want extra funding and extra personnel to handle this sudden inrush of background checks because of our new laws that were passed in April. Well, our point is that you've collected millions of dollars in fees unlawfully. Why don't you use that for the background check fees?
Yeah, what kind of response are you getting on that?
Well, the state police believe that they collected it lawfully, of course,
right.
Except we have them on record going to the legislature saying that they want the law changed because they don't have the statutory authority to collect those fees. So we kind of have them in a good little a corner there. And so we're really trying to push that, and that's what our lawsuit's about. It's on behalf of a pistol permit holder, and it's set up as a class action so that we can include other people.
Right.
And we're doing it on behalf of the citizens of Connecticut because we think it's the right thing to do.
You have got your hands full up there like nobody's business in the Constitution State. Let's go down to Sean Carana in Florida at Florida Carry. Sean, you're listening to this right now. Does any of this shock you?
I'm sitting here with my jaw on the floor. The thought of these local officials trying to subvert the state's law. Well, I shouldn't be surprised. They do it all the time here in Florida. Why shouldn't I expect them to do that in the Constitution State? But it's really become the status quo, and it's just really sickening.
And you have been very, very effective. Rich, Sean has been very effective down in the state of Florida in these lawsuits. In fact, most of them don't even go to any trial, do they?
No, when we first pushed this idea of putting teeth in our preemption law here in Florida, we found over 300 jurisdictions that were violating the state's gun laws, violating state preemption. And with a bunch of letters and them seeing the lobbying effort we were putting forth to put teeth into the law, which we passed in 2011, we got over 200 of those cleared off the books.
Mm-hmm.
We got about 100 that we're still fighting, and we haven't filed lawsuits on all of them because, well, lawsuits cost money.
It's amazing to me that when the other 100 didn't, you know, just haven't got it through their head yet that they're going to lose these, that the state preemption laws now have teeth. You'd think that people would do the right thing, but that's not always the case, clearly.
You know, we've got the City Council of Miami Gardens that went on record as saying, yeah, we know this is illegal. We know we're probably going to be sued over this, but we're doing it anyway.
And yeah, it's an in-your-face.
Miami Gardens, and I haven't announced this anywhere else, but I'm announcing it here, we're going to be suing you very soon.
Oh, good for you. Congratulations and hats off. You've got our support. We'll give you the mic at any time to keep people up to speed as to what's going on in Florida. Let's go back up to Connecticut. Rich, you know, I say you got your hands full up there. It's very depressing to me to see what you're having to go through now. Can you give us an update? And then when we come back, let me run this segment out with an update for listeners as to what you've gone through quickly. And when we come back, I want to ask you about a certain individual. You guys put a press release out not long ago exposing right. Some. Yeah, you're laughing, but I listened to the message. I want to have some fun with you on that. I want to talk about that in the next segment. So just to give you a heads up there, where are you now relative to that incredible fascist left-wing gun grab? Where are we today relative to instituting what they did?
Well, first I'll say I appreciate Sean Carano and Florida Kerry as a whole. We got started with Rob Allen, and we modeled our organization after Florida Kerry. So, you know, that it's all tied together. So we're really happy with them, and they've shown us the way. But as far as the April 4th stuff, I mean, we have some organizations in our state that are fighting that in litigation. Our approach to it is that we really need to wait to see how it's enforced, because what we're seeing from the state police is that they don't have a way to enforce it. And so our method is sit back, see what they're going to do, and then, you know, wait for the whites of their eyes and fight them when it comes.
Well, you know, this is very similar to what's happening in Colorado as well. You have groups out in Colorado, 4, 5, almost 6 now. I may be off on that number. There are people joining that lawsuit out there, filing federal lawsuits against the governor and, you know, for the signatures on those bills out there and those gun grabs in Colorado. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens. I'll give you my take. I don't think the Supreme Court took the rift between the Illinois circuit and the New York circuit in the permits because they knew when these gun grabs were going down that they were probably going to see another Second Amendment case, quite frankly, and they didn't want to limit to one that dealt specifically with one issue. I think they were waiting for a broader case so they don't have to take 3, 4, 5 of these cases. And I think Scalia made that clear in some of his comments a couple months back. It remains to be seen.
We're a little hesitant about our district court.
Hold one second for me. The music means we need to take a break. I'll give you the mic when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Mark Walters. This is Armed American Radio with Sean Carano, Florida Kerry, and Rich Burgess, Connecticut Kerry, when we come back.
Okay, now we're going to talk about how you can get prepared to defend yourself and your family in a worst-case scenario. All of you know I'm a huge fan of Rob Pincus and his work with the Personal Defense Network. Well, the Personal Defense Network has assembled a series of revolutionary handgun training videos designed to make you more efficient with a defensive firearm in the context of a dynamic critical incident. This training course, which is only $39.95, offers more than 3 solid hours of powerful, practical, and proven techniques that will increase your speed and efficiency. Some of the topics covered include things like the balance between speed and precision, one-handed and weak-handed reloads, and, of course, shooting around a corner. So to get a copy of this one-of-a-kind training course and to help support Armed American Radio, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com. Once you order, you'll get the 3-DVD training course for only $39.95 plus shipping and handling. This is a great deal. Check it out. Again, go to armedamericandvdoffer.com and get your copy today.
The Galco SC2 is the perfect concealed carry holster for all seasons. The SC2 is lightweight and comfortable with a snap-on design that allows the holster to attach and detach from your belt without removing the belt itself. Constructed of premium saddle leather, the SC2 utilizes a reinforced thumb brake strap for added retention. Check out the Galco SC2 for semi-automatics and double-action revolvers. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order, visit galcogunleather.com.
Ever wish you could find a concealed carry holster that allows wearing the clothing of your choice with absolutely no restrictions on body movements? A concealed carry holster that provides such deep concealment that no one will know you're carrying unless you tell them. The world-famous Smart Carry Holster does just that while providing complete invisibility, total comfort, and freedom of movement even when carrying a full-size handgun. Make your gun disappear in total comfort today. Visit smartcarry.com now.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, KelTecWeapons.com.
Old Faithful holsters, designed to be as reliable as their Yellowstone National Park namesake. Made from the highest quality American leather and ultra-strong kydex, we use only the most durable materials available and put our 50-year warranty where our mouth is. Have a gun you'd love to carry but can't find a holster? Purchase one of our holster kits and build it yourself. To purchase a fully assembled holster for your carry gun or to build one yourself, visit oldfaithfulholsters.com now.
Crossbreed Holsters is proud to offer, in addition to our already outstanding belt selection, introducing the Instructor's Belt. Offering the same quality as our original gun belts and dress belts, the Crossbreed Instructor's Belt offers a clean, buckle-less design intended for a sharp and professional appearance. Sturdy, but not stiff. The Instructor Belt provides even weight distribution of your gun and gear and looks as great out on the town as it does on the range. Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated, but never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. CrossbreedHolsters.com.
This segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, America's no-compromise gun lobby. Become a member today. Visit gunowners.org. Join them, folks. I did. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Indeed, you do need to be a member of the Gun Owners of America. Great organization, no-compromise, man, and they are making some waves. Larry Pratt, good friend of mine, good friend of yours, a regular attendee here on the program. The broadcast from coast to coast, from the toasty beaches of Florida to the crab fishing vessels of Alaska and all parts unknown in between, particularly all you new listeners in Kentucky, WEKY, WIRV, all you guys. And great to have you on the program. WEVO out there. And what do they call that area? The CRSA? Is that right? CSRA?
What's that?
The CSRA?
I'm lost.
Don't worry about it. They'll know what I'm talking about. So I'll get an email. Send me an email at mark@armedamericanradio.com and let me know what we're doing. mark@armedamericanradio.org, if you would, and let me know if I got that right. Great to have you guys here. It's always a pleasure. You know, Doug Allen had great conversation with Doug last week, and I'm sure we will every week on the Spirit of Racing programs. Welcome back to the show. Rich Burgess and Sean Carana. Rich joins us from Connecticut. Cary, up there in the unconstitution state. Sorry to insult the state, Rich. I can't help myself. There's too much going on up there. Am I wrong about that now?
Oh, I think we're all in agreement, Mark.
Man, it is really something else. Really something else to see what's happening. I have a lot of friends that live up there. They're shaking their heads, just trying to literally wrap their head around what's going on. As far as the implementation of everything, is everything now in effect, or is this coming in delayed? Can you explain to us what is now currently in effect in Connecticut since April 4th?
Well, it comes in stages. Most of the registration requirements and things will end up in January of the next year. We have some things kicking in July here. But most of the major registration, you know, the real boondoggle type of stuff that, you know, the state police still have no answers for, are delayed till January.
Right.
And, you know, if history is any evidence, then they won't be ready by January either. So we'll really see how they implement it.
Yeah, this stuff wasn't thought through. This was knee-jerk reaction. This is Obama foot soldiers toeing the line. That's all this is. That's just stepping in line. Showing the National Party that they're good Democrats, and that's exactly what they're doing. Here, kiss me, give me some money. Let me feed off of you. That's what this is. This is, I'm a good Democrat foot soldier. Watch me. Let's go to Sean down in Florida, Sean Carana. Sean, do you think I was wrong in my assessment in the last segment that the Supreme Court knew, based on what they saw happening, that they didn't want to take more than one Supreme Court case? Scalia made reference to that a couple months back. He says, we don't want to keep taking these cases. They knew what was coming down the pike. You think they're waiting to grab one that's going to encompass all of this if they can?
Yeah, well, and anytime you're dealing with the Supreme Court, you're just reading tea leaves in the bottom of the cup. But I personally think that they are looking for something that is so incredibly clear-cut, like Illinois.
Right.
Illinois with a complete ban, that's something they might be able to sink their teeth into. And I think that's why the attorney general there in Illinois has been so hesitant to file a Supreme Court appeal because they know very well that they might lose it. When you have facts of the case that are a little bit more muddied, now the Supreme Court doesn't really want to get into those. They want very clean cases.
Yeah, you know, I opened up the previous hour reading the garbage in the new Illinois bill. I don't know if you all have had a chance to read that yet, but you can catch that at nraila.org, and you can read the new concealed carry bill coming out of Illinois that the House just passed the Senate version of, and it is just the most creating task forces to determine and groups of seven individuals appointed by the governor to make recommendations and who can't adjudicate somebody. It's just incredible how the words shall not be infringed just don't matter at the state level. In Illinois, I think you're right, Sean. I think that they're looking for something a little bit more clear cut. What they're going to try to hang their hat on, Rich, I think, from Connecticut, Kerry, Rich Burgess, I think what the antis are going to try to hang their hat on here is in Heller, where we hear reasonable restrictions, correct? And they're going to try to determine whether or not Colorado, New York, Connecticut are going to make that distinction as to whether or not those are reasonable restrictions. And here's where I believe they're going to lose. Again, prediction I hate to make, but I don't know. I don't like to do this with courts. But an AR-15, you know, that evil black rifle, that automatic assault weapon they talk about and hate so much? Heller very clearly and plainly stated that we're talking about arms that are common usage, of which the AR-15 is the single most common rifle in use in America today. Rich, you want to comment on that?
Well, in fact, they actually said the M-16 was the most common in use.
Oh, yeah, okay, you want to go there, sure.
Service. So, you know, like that should give us a definitive idea of they're willing to take it that far. So I think they're treading on dangerous ground by trying to say that, you know, let's go by reasonable restrictions, because their idea of reasonable is obviously very, very different than ours or than the Supreme Court's was. So I think we have a very good challenge there. My concern is simply doing it in our district court as opposed to maybe Colorado or some other district court. Our district courts here, the second district, is very, very anti-gun. They really don't have any case law to use as a foundation. So we're a little concerned here, but we think nationally we're going to win and this is going to work.
And I'm with you 100%. I'm confident in that. And we've got some great groups, national groups, the Second Amendment Foundation, the great attorneys. You got Dave Kopel out there in Colorado. You've got, you know, of course, Alan Guerra, the winner of both the Heller decision and the McDonald decision. And these lawsuits are being filed across the country. And there's no doubt in my mind that the Supreme Court, Sean Carana, is waiting to see what happens in these different cases in the different circuits before they jump in and say, okay, we're going to take this. And it will be probably a definitive landmark decision. We need it to happen quick. All right. Would you agree?
And we have a case here in Florida where it's Norman v. State, where one of the arguments is that they're banning the carry of an entire class of arms that's in common use, and I mean long guns. And what we're saying is that, you know, well, no, we're not talking about people walking down, you know, down Main Street with an AR-15 strapped across their back. That's a good idea, but when you're talking about a right, they cannot take away a right when you're talking about arms that are in common use.
Oh, listen, let's
and
stop you right there, Sean.
Sitting here with this modern musket right next to me, my AR-15.
Let's go here real quick. We've got 30 seconds before I have to end this segment, so I'll tie it in with this. Maryland is banning every single semi-automatic rifle. Every single semi-automatic rifle. So when you tie in Connecticut, Rich, when you tie in Maryland, when you tie in Colorado, when you tie in New York, you know, I like the way this is building out. I think this is going to turn into our favor. There's no question about it. I feel bad for you guys in those states. I wish I could tell you. I didn't, but I do. It's terrible what's going on. But ladies and gentlemen, Connecticut Carry with Rich Burgess, fighting the good fight. Join the organization, ConnecticutCarry.org, FloridaCarry.org. Join the organization and any state's grassroots organization wherever you live. I'm Mark Walters. We'll be back after this with Bruce Eimer.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
I found a small lump. It just didn't feel right. After a biopsy, I was told that it was cancer.
Last year, Kimalea Conrad was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer.
I was devastated. I felt alone. I began praying, God, how do I do this? Where do I do this? Cancer Treatment Centers of America was the place.
At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, faith and spiritual support play an important role in the fight against complex and advanced stage cancer.
When I walk into CTCA, it feels like a place of life and hope.
Advanced medicine and technology, the warm embrace of the spirit, and the power of prayer. That's Cancer Treatment Centers of America, a national network of 5 cancer hospitals.
I am so grateful and so blessed that I went to the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. I am strong and I am joyous.
If you or a loved one has complex or advanced stage cancer, visit cancercenter.com/faith. Cancer Treatment Centers of America, care that never quits. Appointments available now.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Here are 2 simple words that should make you reconsider waiting to buy a home. Buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,350. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 3.5%, APR 3.65%, that payment could support a $300,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6%, that same $1,350 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $225,000 mortgage. That's $75,000 worth of home that you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and maximize your buying power.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was young and naive, and I found myself with $11,000 of credit card debt, 9 credit cards, and nothing to show for it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496 to talk to a certified counselor.
And I ended up calling, and the lady on the phone was so nice. And it was really humbling because no one really knows what your financial situation is like. You have to open those doors.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, reduce your interest, and improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They gave me the right perspective, and they got the ball rolling, which is what I needed. I needed someone to help me get in the right direction.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496. Or visit mydebthasmedown.com.
This is Armed American Radio. We are your voice. Join the blog discussion at armedamericanradio.com or on Facebook at Armed American Radio. Terry Ken, Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the program. All across America, the fruited plains of freedom ring out loud as we talk to you about your right to carry a firearm. Your right, your birthright as an American, to keep and bear arms. I heard Michael Moore. Oh, and it's tough to watch this show. I was watching Bill Maher.
Oh, Lord.
And Michael Moore said he thought that we really needed to go back to what the founding fathers really truly meant. He would have no problem with that. Of course, that meant that we would go back to muskets, you know, with the little balls and powder bags. And I thought for a second, you know, S.E. Cupp was on the show on the panel, and she did a great job handling it. But I was screaming at my television saying, please answer that correctly, which she handled it fantastic.
Yes.
On the spot in front of a liberal live audience. But she left out one part. She should have looked at him and she should have said, yeah, is that what they meant, muskets? Then they would have said muskets. Because they said arms. Because the founding fathers, incredible foresight, they knew they were writing a constitution that was going to live through the ages. They intentionally put arms and not muskets. And she didn't mention that to him. I wish she would have, but that's okay. She handled Michael Moore fantastic. Very difficult job in front of that left-leaning audience.
Now, Michael Moore is the one that did
Bowling with Columbine and all that garbage and, you know, Fahrenheit.
The fat guy with the glasses.
Yeah, S.E. Cupp should have held up a big picture of his mansion on Torch Lake and said, this one here?
This guy,
the hypocrisy drips. Hey, let's go to Bruce Eimer real quick. Dr. Bruce Eimer, good friend of mine. Great to have you here. Dr. Eimer, always fun to have you on the show. We don't have you on the program enough. So let's bring you in right now, and let's talk about some really fun stuff, because you got a lot going on. How you doing, Dr. Eimer?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing wonderful, man. I'm doing wonderful. And first, let's start with this. Thanks for holding. We've had some really weird scheduling going on today here on the program, so I appreciate you sticking with us on that.
Not a problem.
We got a good connection with you, so let's utilize it. Let's get right to the meat with you. Let's start first off with you spoke at a very cool place this past week, just a couple days ago.
I did. Yes. You know,
I got an invitation to speak there. Sean and I did when we were in Houston a few months back, and I couldn't make it my schedule. And I said, you know what? I can't think of anybody better to replace me than Bruce Eimer, who lives in Philadelphia. So the mic is yours. Tell us what you did.
Well, you know, Mark, it was an honor, actually. I got that gig as a result of your being too busy to be there. And, you know, when Eric Reed, who is the founder and, you know, I guess the CEO of Gun Rights Across America, which is a grassroots organization that is organizing demonstrations, rallies, and education about what's happening to us here in this country relative to the efforts of people in government who are trying to disarm the populace. When he and I talked and, you know, I found out all about what he's doing, I immediately was very glad that you had given him my name. So yesterday we had a rally that was organized by Eric Reed and Gun Rights Across America here in Philadelphia, in the very place where the Liberty Bell rang, and that was Independence Park on 5th and Market Streets here in Center City, Philadelphia. And it was really a tremendous gathering of people with a tremendous amount of energy. There were some really, really great speakers, a really nice lineup, and I was just one of many that had the opportunity to express our point of view and to express our passion for protecting our basic God-given rights to protect ourselves and take responsibility for our own safety so that we could pursue life, liberty, and happiness in this country, which is truly still the greatest country on earth, and it's the place where everybody wants to come from other places because it's the best place on earth. Otherwise, they all wouldn't want to come here.
It's how you got here, Bruce. It's how I got here. My grandfather came through Ellis Island in the early part of the last century, like millions of other immigrants who did it legally in this country many, many years ago. And I'm here as a result of that, and you probably are too, and that's an amazing thing. You opened up your talk on May 25th at Independence Plaza with the following, and I quote, self-preservation is the first law of nature. The first order of business in life is to keep safe from peril or from harm. Those who fail at this first order of business of survival are not likely to pass on their gene pool. Therefore, it is natural that people want to feel safe, but many people delude themselves into thinking they are safe when in fact they are not. The fact is, it's more important to actually be safe than to feel safe. Now, I don't know if you even realize, here's the way I take that, because I look at critical thinking versus emotion. Being safe is the critical thinker. Feeling safe is the liberal loon, Bruce.
Absolutely.
There's a huge difference between the two, and I don't know if that was your intention when you wrote that, but that immediately came to mind because I always talk about on this program how it's difficult to think, isn't it? It's not easy to actually sit down and put your gray matter to work and come up with and formulate an opinion, but it sure is easy to say, oh, I think all rich people should give me some of their money.
Yeah, well, you know, some people are better at thinking than others. There's no question about it. You know, human beings were not all created equal, but Sam Colt certainly sort of equalizing some things, right? The fact is that, yeah, I mean, there are takers, there are givers, and, you know, in the end, you can't give or take if you're not alive. And the fact is that the Second Amendment, you know, and I talked about this in my speech yesterday on Independence Mall in Philadelphia. The fact is that the Second Amendment was formulated by our founding fathers who developed the first 10 amendments, which is collectively called the Bill of Rights, to protect all of the other amendments and to protect the Constitution. You know, obviously we all know what the Second Amendment stands for, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Let's make this clear right now, Bruce. Who are the well-regulated militia, please? Bruce, are you with me?
Yes.
Who are the well-regulated militia, sir?
The well-regulated militia are us.
Thank you very much. Let's make sure that we get that clear that we are the people. You know, I like to refer to, to those people who don't like to think too much or who don't want to do the research, I like to refer them, Bruce, to a great movie, The Patriot, with Mel Gibson.
Excellent movie.
And no more along those lines of, can I find a better example than when Heath Ledger, Mel Gibson's son, who fights alongside him during the Revolution, walks into the church and asks for support to join the militia. And it is the people, it is the men, in the church who gather their arms. That's the militia. It's a great scene because it embodies what we talk about here when we hear everybody, the anti-gunner, say a well-regulated militia. To them, that's a National Guard. And, of course, we know that couldn't be further from the truth. Bruce, let's go now to Michael Moore. You heard me at the opening of the segment say. Michael Moore on the Bill Maher show said, well, what they meant was muskets. So I don't have any problem with muskets. Bruce, if they meant muskets, they'd have said muskets, my brother. You want to clarify that for me?
I'll try. I mean, you know, first of all, let's talk about the fact that the militia is the people because the government was designed to be by the people and for the people, as opposed to the other way around, which it seems like, you know, is going on today. And the whole idea of militia, it's called militia and not military because it's not military. The National Guard is military. The militia is a free people that have fought with their sweat and their blood and given their lives and lost loved ones in order to gain freedom that is rightfully theirs.
I need to stop you right there, and I'm going to end this segment right here at the break with this. Way back in the days of our founding fathers, it was a given that every man had weapons, just as in modern-day Switzerland. Amazing stuff from Bruce Eimer. We'll talk more with Dr. Eimer when we come back from this break here on the Armed American Radio Network, filling your prescription for freedom, America.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says The Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
The Ruger SR22 is the do-it-all 22 pistol for the shooter who appreciates style and demands reliability. Easy to field, strip, and reassemble, the Ruger SR22 shoots a broad variety of 22 LR ammunition. It features an ambidextrous manual thumb safety decocking lever and magazine release, two options for grip, and a fixed white dot front sight and adjustable rear sight with reversible blade. The Ruger SR22, another American-made product from Ruger.
How many guns do you really need? Just one more. PennyGunAuction.com brings the excitement of a gun bash to your computer. Each Penny Gun Auction bid increases the price of the firearm by only one penny, resulting in winners paying pennies on the dollar for their firearm. With auctions every day, Armed American Radio listeners can register for free and receive 20 free bids for the auction of their choice using promo code WIN in caps. That's W-I-N, all in caps. Visit PennyGunAuction.com today.
Didn't think you could afford that new AR-15? Yes, you can. Check out the DTI-4 by Delton. The 16-inch M4 comes fully equipped with a collapsible stock, car handguards, A2 flash suppressor, cleaning kit, two 30-round magazines, a sling, and a beautiful hard-sided case, all under $760. Delton, priced right for any budget. DEL-TON.com. That's DEL-TON.com.
Senator Dianne Feinstein was the author of the assault weapons ban in 1994.
Professor Koppel, was the 1994 assault weapons ban a sensible and effective means of reducing gun violence?
Based on the Department of Justice study, the answer was no.
Overwhelming majority of Americans agree with us on the need for universal background checks, including more than 70% of the National Rifle Association's members, according to one survey.
Universal background checks, the true goal. View it now at RadioFactor.com.
With loyal followers coast to coast, we are your voice. This is Armed American Radio. Here again, Mark Walters.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was singing. Saw him standing there by the record machine. Over his shoulder, he'd slung an AR-15.
Oh, that's
you know,
really
we,
cool.
We were singing that and having some fun with that. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the program. Ladies and gentlemen, before we go back to Dr. Bruce Eimer, which we will do right away, we have Sean Carana back on the line, who is calling the show live with some breaking news out of Florida. Sean, what have you got for us, my friend?
Hey, thanks for bringing us back on. I've got my attorney, my lead counsel, Eric Friday, on the line. And, well, Eric, I'm going to let you explain what just happened.
Eric, Mark Walters, welcome to the program. How are you, my friend?
Hi, Mark. Good. We just received information from a media report had gone online with the with one of the Daytona news sites, stating where Chief Chitwood of the Daytona Beach Police Department has released the name of my client, whose names we had kept confidential because the incident involved protected mental health information. Detective or Chief Chitwood decided that it was okay to release confidential mental health information regarding somebody taken for mental health evaluation under the Baker Act without any basis for doing so, released the name of the individual whose name was protected in the court documents by his initials only, and instead decided that he would release the full report and the full details of what happened to a person who was protected by mental health law.
Good heavens. Sean, I want you to come in here, if you would, please, and in this segment and notify listeners to what it is we're referring to your lawsuit. We had you on in the previous hour. I want you to educate listeners right now as to the lawsuit that you're referring to here.
Right. What this is a combat veteran, a hero of this country, who had a bad night, called a VA mental health line and said, hey, I'm having a bad night. And what he got was a police response. The police not only took him in for a mental health evaluation, which he was determined immediately to be of no threat to himself or anyone else, just a veteran having a bad night, as happens to many of us combat vets. I'm one myself, I've had these nights. But now we have the police refusing to return $20,000 worth of firearms and other personal property that they went into his home and seized without a warrant. Wasn't stuff that was on his person.
Right.
They took him into custody, put him in the back of the car, and then went into his house and took his property.
All right. Now, and what you've done is, on behalf of him, you have filed suit against, with your attorney, Eric, that's on the line, against Eric. How many, who else have you filed suit against besides the police department?
Mark, we've sued the city of Daytona Beach, the chief of police, and the mayor. I want to point out that the news article actually quotes the chief of police as saying, we don't need a warrant to go into somebody's house when it's a mental health issue because those weapons might have been stolen out of the empty house, and then we would have 16 illegal guns on the street. So according to the chief of police of Daytona Beach, if you leave your house for overnight and leave guns in the house, it's okay for the police to go in and take those weapons because somebody might break into your house and steal them. And then they just don't have to give them back to you.
Okay, I don't want to put you on the spot here. This is breaking, and you're bringing this to us live right after Sean's segment on the show. So I'll leave it at that. Eric, can we contact you through Sean and bring you back onto the program next week? Because I'm sure there will be tremendous developments throughout the week.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for that. We'll leave it at that right now, so we don't ask questions that put you or your client on the spot. Sean, thank you very much for calling the program back. We appreciate it. Both you and
thank
Eric
you for
will return.
Back on.
You'll both return to the show next week. We'll bring you in for a minimum of a half hour so that we can continue to follow this story. You've been listening to the breaking news from Sean on the lawsuit that he was talking about at Florida Carry in the previous hour, and I thank him for bringing his attorney on to talk about what is now happening in Daytona Beach. Florida listeners, you know, those of you across the country, that should anger everybody. Everybody. It does me, but we'll leave it at that for now. Let's go back to Dr. Bruce Eimer. Thanks to those guys for calling in. Bruce, what do you make of that? You're in the mental health field. You're a clinical psychologist. Talk to us.
Well, you know, there's a fine balance between a psychologist or a psychiatrist or any mental health expert's obligation to their client or their patient or somebody that comes to them for an evaluation and their obligation to the public at large. I mean, you know, as a psychologist, as a mental health expert, we're going to see people that have emotional problems, have psychiatric problems, and have difficulties making sense of it all, you know, in terms of interpreting reality and so on and so forth. But predicting violence is a very dangerous business. You know, coming up with a blanket rule or obligation that a mental health expert has to report, you know, people who, you know, own guns, who have this kind of psychiatric disorder is very dangerous territory.
Right.
And it's very dangerous and, in my opinion, certainly very unadvisable to combine psychology, psychiatry, and politics, because we can just,
right,
all we have to do is just look back about 20, 30 years to the old Soviet Union,
right,
and how psychiatry was used as a weapon to imprison people and to oppress people. You know, so certainly what I was just listening to is something that is very unjust and is a misuse of common sense and shouldn't be allowed. And definitely, you know, you shouldn't discourage people from seeking help or mental health care. And right now in Pennsylvania, I'm seeing a lot of people that are calling me up from New Jersey who, being honest, law-abiding people, when they apply to obtain what's called a New Jersey firearm owner's purchaser's card, they have to fill out an application at their local law enforcement agency, and the application asks a bunch of intrusive questions,
right.
And many folks who are honest and law-abiding answer those questions sometimes too truthfully. They give out too much information, and perhaps they might say something like, they might admit that they went to see a mental health counselor or a marital counselor at some time in the past. That, not that they've been ever committed involuntarily to a psychiatric hospital or anything of that nature, because they weren't ever a danger to self or others, but they maybe went for counseling because they were depressed or anxious. And then that law enforcement agency says, well, we can't issue you your card, which gives you the right, as if you can give a right, to buy a firearm until you get cleared by a psychologist or a psychiatrist. So then they have to start searching around for somebody who will do an evaluation, write a letter to their local law enforcement agency, and basically state that that person is not a whack job and is not a risk to self or others or to society at large. Well, guess what? What they then do is they call around New Jersey, and no psychologist will touch it. No psychiatrist will touch it, because the majority of my colleagues are anti-gun and believe basically the liberal you know, point of view as far as the fact that private ownership of guns is not a good idea. So, and that's a political statement, and that's pretty much what the major associations like the American Psychiatric and American Psychological Associations tell them to believe.
No,
so
Bruce, I need to stop. I need to stop you right there, Bruce.
They're searching for somebody who will give them a fair psychological evaluation.
Bruce, I need to stop you right there, my friend. We're going to have to cut you because the hour is coming to a close. And man, I got to tell you, it was intriguing. Thank you very much for all of your insight. Bruce, we'll bring you back as soon as we possibly can, maybe even next week, because we had some breaking news come into the middle of our segment. But thank you for everything. I'll be giving out all of your contact information just as soon as I possibly can when we come back on Armed American Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Mark Walters, and as I tell you every week at the close of every hour, carry on, carry often, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Don't be that clubless caveman. Please carry your club wherever you lawfully can. Back after this.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and improve your credit score. So call the Trinity Debt Relief Hotline at 1-800-936-5496. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496. Call now. Or visit MyDebtHasMeDown.com.
Trinity.
1-800-936-5496.
Folks, you paid a king's ransom to send your kids to the finest colleges. Now they've graduated, and guess what? They can't find a job. You've already invested in their education. Now invest in their careers. Start a business that your adult children can run and flourish in. You hear it here. Give your children the break in life they really need using money you already have. Just call my friend Steve Cooper at ersop.com, the Entrepreneur Rollover Stock Ownership Plan.
Thanks, Hugh. We've helped countless people use their retirement money to invest in businesses for themselves and their family. It only takes a couple of weeks to finance, and it's totally legal.
Trust ersop.com to help you start a small, profitable business that could give your adult children a head start. Turn your family's fortunes around using your own money legally with no debt or payments. Call 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MY-ERSOP. Call 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MY-ERSOP. 866-MY-ERSOP.